Well, I'm going to share along some lines today. I had been sharing some thoughts before I was away on something the Lord spoke in my heart prior to noonday prayer. And as I was waking up early in the morning, I just heard these words in my heart, best in class. And I began to look that up. And of course, I immediately began to think about the fact that we are made from the scripture, we are made in the image and likeness of God. And that means we're in his class. We're in a God-like class. We're made in his image and likeness. He didn't create the animal kingdom in his likeness and his image. He created man in his image and likeness. That's why he sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh, it says in Romans, and for sin. So Jesus came, and as we saw in John 10, the first 5 or 6 verses or 8 verses, we see that it says, anyone that enters the sheepfold some other way and climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. Well, we know from the scripture, the devil is a thief and a robber. And then in verse 2, it starts talking about the shepherd of the sheepfold. And if you go down, I believe it's verse 7, Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the gate to the sheep or for the sheep. So Jesus is the way into the kingdom of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But there's a natural authority that man has because he's born of a woman. And so there's authority that man has just because he's in this earth, born of a woman. Jesus didn't give the right to the angels to preach the gospel here in this earth. He gave it to his body. So angels don't even have the right to preach the gospel. We do. And then we're spiritually born into the kingdom of God, and that gives us spiritual authority. So because we're made in the image and likeness of God, just if you would, let's turn over to Genesis, and I want to read this from the New Living Translation. Genesis 1:26, and this is, they'll put that up here in a moment, and if you don't have that translation, it says, starting in verse 26, it said, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Who did he make? He said human beings. He didn't say the animal kingdom. So we're in his class. They will reign over what? The fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God created all things, but he only created mankind to do what? That he created them in his image or class of being, and it's only mankind that really can truly worship him. We're made in his image and likeness. We worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So something that is best in class, it really means something matchless, unsurpassed, unparalleled, something there's nothing equal to it. We're not equal to God, but we're in his class, you see, as mankind is. So John, in John 4:23, This is in the New Living Translation, John 4:23 and 24. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. The Amplified says, God is a spirit. But he is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And then in Psalm 8, I'm just going back over a few things here. Psalm 8, this is the Passion Translation, starting in verse 4. Compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal man or be infatuated with Adam's sons? Yet what honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim, that's a little lower than God, crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence. You have delegated to them mastery over all you have made, making everything subservient to their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers. Wow. That's why we should never, ever, ever tolerate stuff going on in this earth that's negative. He has put everything under the feet of his image bearers. We have dominion and authority in this earth. All the created order, and let me just stop and say, and then you say, well, why are we being subjected to all of this stuff in this earth? Because you have the God of this world. Adam bowed his knee, he missed it, and his authority was subverted by who? His enemy, Satan. And Jesus came and defeated him. He said, all power and authority is given to me, right? And now that has what? Been given back to his body. We here have that which was lost by Adam has been restored. So we ought to be rising up, the church, and not saying, oh, woe is me. what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. The church is going to rise up and speak to it and command it to change, because it is subservient to us. It's beneath our feet. We need to speak to it. The devil is a destroyer. He's a thief. And so verse 7, it says, all the created order and every living thing on earth, sky and sea, the wildest beasts and all the sea creatures, everything is in submission to Adam's sons. Huh, that'd be us. Lord, your name is so great and powerful. People everywhere see your majesty. What glory streams from the heavens, filling the earth with the fame of your name. So picking up today, I want to look a little bit about, a little bit in the area of faith and just look in this. So let's come along with me here on this little journey here. New Living Translation, Hebrews 11:6. And familiar verse, but let's look at this. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And we're made in his image and likeness. What did God do in the beginning? He spoke things into existence. And we'll see this from the book of Hebrews. Everything is sustained or supported by his words. And so we being made in his image and likeness, we are a spirit. And as this message is today, we are what? Speaking spirits, meaning we speak, and what we speak comes to pass. We are made in his image and likeness. What he spoke was created things. What we speak does also the same. We're a spirit, and what we speak in faith from our spirit is creative. And how are we to live? We're to live by faith. This is Romans 1:16 and 17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. But Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live," how? "By faith." And that's what we see in Galatians 3:11. And also, let's look at Hebrews 10:38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So we're expected to live by faith. That pleases God. And we can. He wouldn't command us to do something if it was not possible. So we can live by faith, and it's faith that will get us over. Now I want to look at the Passion Translation of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And then verse 3. And I want to tie this in here when we look at us as a speaking spirit. You know, you ever think about this? In all of creation, we who are made in His image and likeness are the only ones that speak. None of the other creation speaks. They're not a spirit. We're made in His image and likeness. We are a spirit, and we speak. And what comes out of our spirit is creative. So here's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Passion. It says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation." Whew! What becomes your faith becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we hope for. Is that living by faith? Oh, yes. Your faith is what brings your hopes into reality, and it's the foundation that does what? It's needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Whew! So your faith is the only proof needed for things yet unseen, but desired and hoped for, or expected is another word. And this word substance, you know, in the King James it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." This word substance means the ground under. In a way, it means the support. Foundation in the Passion. So I hope to sit on this chair, but I have confidence that it's not going to fall through because of the floor that's holding it up. I can sit down with confidence because the foundation is holding it up. Same thing. The foundation of God's word, the promises of God that are forever settled in heaven, is my foundation and my confidence and assurance of something that I'm taking hold of and bringing it over here from the spiritual realm over into this natural realm. And I have confidence because His word is forever settled, and He watches over His word to do what? Perform it. Whew. So let's read it again. "Now faith," what does? "Brings our hopes into reality." Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, "Faith creates realities." Oh, yes, it does. Faith creates things that we see. And so God made us in his image and likeness. What we speak in faith is spiritual and will bring from the unseen realm into this physical realm. So our faith-filled words create realities. We're God's made in his image and likeness. Another scripture that we read all the time, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let's look at this in the complete Jewish Bible, Proverbs 4:23. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. What comes out of your mouth determines the boundaries of your life. That's that word issues. So what comes out of your mouth will determine the consequences in your life. If you talk, oh, woe is me, that's what you're going to have. If you talk death, you'll eat the fruit thereof, Proverbs 18:20. This is the New Living Translation. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. I'm going to read it again. It's the New Living Translation. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Everything. So when we guard our heart, we will watch the words that we speak. That's what that really means. Guard your heart. That means protect it. Watch what you're saying. This is the New Century Version. I'll just read this. It says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Yeah, that's for sure. Joshua 1:8. This is the Amplified Classic. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not do what? Depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So our success and us dealing wisely in life is directly related to what? Staying in the Word of God, meditating in it, observing it, and what is it saying? That you may observe to all that is written therein. So in order to deal wisely, what's another way of saying this? In order to deal wisely and have good success, it must be God's word that is believed and meditated on, then spoken and acted on from where? Your heart. What did God do? He spoke words that had to be in faith. They had to be. And it was. And you know, the same thing for us. The level of, what I call the level of the power, the anointing of your words. How many remember Brother Copeland's prophecy to Pastor Sarah? He said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. Watch your words. Be careful with your words. He said, because going forward, the words you speak will not fall to the ground, but work until the time of the end. And so the words, again, it was directly related to what? The level of anointing. So as the anointing in your life increases, I think sometimes God is merciful to us so that the things we say don't instantly create stuff. He's merciful to us. Because if we went back and listened to some of our things that we say, ooh, man, we'd be destroying things. And so God, somebody said something, Marty Blackwelder was teaching at camp meeting, and he was sharing three simple points. God is good, God is merciful, and God is faithful. And he made a point, which I thought was so true, about how God, Malachi 3:6, God never changes. James 1:16, 17, he's without variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. And he said, even when we get off, God is merciful. Even when we're not walking in everything he's planned for us or designed for us, he never changes his words about us. He's a good God. He never changes. And I thought, so true. But man, you know, when you go back and you look at Joshua 1:8, that's a conditional promise, meaning you must meditate in the word day and night. You must observe to do it. And it says what? All that is within. For then, that's conditional. For then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. So that means for me, I need to watch what I'm saying and focus and meditate in the Word of God. And God has given us some conditions or directions on how to become prosperous in this world, in life. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'm going to read this in the King James and then the BBE, or the Bible in Basic English. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, this is Paul writing here, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. See, I'm tying this in. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We need to believe. Believe what? Believe his word, believe his promises, and then speak. And this is the Bible in Basic English. This makes it a little more plain. It says, but having the same spirit of faith, as it is said in the writings, the words of my mouth, well, I tell you, it gets plain here, came from the faith in my heart. In the same way, our words are the outcome of our faith. So your words is your faith speaking. So what you speak in faith will come to pass. It'll work, it'll work, it'll work, it'll work until it comes to pass. That's why it's so important to not talk doubt and defeat. The spirit of faith, I like what Mark Hankins says, it'll get the wine out of your voice. You know what I mean by that. It'll get the wine out of your voice. We're having a bad day. It'll get the wine out of your voice, and it'll put victory in your voice. The spirit of faith will put victory in your speech. You'll talk victory. You'll talk overcoming. The spirit of faith speaks the outcome or the solution, not the problem. Man, we all go through stuff. And your flesh and your mind is screaming. And it's so easy to slip over and start talking the problem. God didn't get up and go, oh man, I don't see an earth. I don't know what we're going to do. What do we got here? It's all, there's no form. He said, light be. He didn't say, oh man, it's dark. He didn't talk the problem. He spoke things into existence. So the spirit of faith speaks victory. You know, there was a story Brother Hagin told years ago, many stories, but he talked about this family that wanted him to come and pray for this young man. He was, I think, 40, I think the story goes. He was 40, and he was not expected to live. He was in a coma, and Brother Hagin came, and he knelt by his bed. He began to pray, and the Lord says, don't pray for him. He's going to die. And he said, he got up, and he said, this is what the Lord said to him. He said, spiritual laws have been put into motion, and he said, the only way they can be reversed is by him. You can't override them. He put spiritual laws into motion. What did he mean by that? He said, for years, and he said he didn't understand it, but after he had done the funeral, he began to speak to the mother or father or whoever, and they said, for as long as they knew him, he said, I'm not going to live past 40 years of age. He kept saying it. He kept saying it. And he said, they didn't know why he said it. He just said it. I'm not going to live past 40. And he didn't. He put spiritual laws in motion. And if you read stories, even about Michael Jackson, he did the same thing. He spoke words. If you hear stories, they came out about how in his time, even with Priscilla Presley, they said she talked about it and said he spoke words like that. I'm not going to live past this age. And he didn't. Yeah, I mean, all these things unfolded about how he took, you know, a certain propofol and all of this kind of things. Yeah, but that opened the door for something to happen. Does everybody understand that? His words were self-fulfilling prophecy. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and we must watch what we say. I mean, the scripture is clear. Real faith speaks to the mountain or the problem. Real faith does. Matthew 12. And this is very clear. This is Jesus speaking here, saying we're going to be judged by our own words. Matthew 12, 35, 36, 37. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And when he talks about idle words, he's talking about words that are non-working. They're not producing something. They're idle. They're not working. They're not faith-filled words. And so that's why God is saying, look, watch your words. And the words, and that's going back to that prophetic word that Brother Copeland gave to Pastor Sarah, he said, watch your words even in fooling around and jesting. Because he said, your words, I'm increasing the anointing on your life and your words, and they're going to produce. So even fooling around, just watch it. Watch your words. And so that's why I say, you know, growing up, even in my own life, you know, that's why I say the things that I see differently is the things that my parents didn't know. They didn't have that revelation into the Word of God. So there were things spoken and things said, right? And we grow in the grace of God. We grow in the Word of God. There's further revelation that we see in the Word of God. And we should do what? Grow beyond where they were in faith. They love God, But there was not that revelation in the Word of God. This is an interesting scripture, Job 22. We're talking about decreeing a thing. Job 22, I'm going to read this in the King James, and then they'll put up a couple of different translations here. Verse 28 in Job 22, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." This is the Voice translation. It says, "You will pronounce something to be, and he will make it so. Light will bring it out across all of your paths." That's why I say, watch what you're saying. Don't talk doubt. Don't talk fear. Don't talk lack. You may be walking through that. You may be walking through lack. Don't talk it. Talk the promises of God. Sow your seed into the kingdom of God, whatever you can, and talk blessing. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Don't talk the curse. So here, this is one last translation. This is the Common English Bible. This is even plainer. I like reading different translations. This says here, Job 22, verse 28 in the Common English Bible, it says, "If you decree something, it will stand." How plain is that? I like what somebody said. Even Stevie Wonder can hear that one. If you decree something, it will stand. Light will shine on your ways. So watch what you decree. What am I saying here? Watch what you meditate on. Meditate on his word day and night. Observe to do it. And it says what? You will make your way prosperous, not unprosperous, but prosperous. And you'll deal wisely. You'll know what to do. The wisdom of God will come to you. But when we meditate, that's why it says in Proverbs 4, watch how you think. Because the things that you continually meditate on can get internalized, and then the more you meditate on it, you begin to do what? Speak it. And when you begin to speak it in faith, it will stand. That's what the scripture says. It will stand. It'll come to be. And then you're blaming God and getting mad at God for all this negative stuff in your life. But you were the author of it. And the devil deceived us into it, didn't he? Because he's a thief. And he blinded us to something, and we took it, hook, line, and sinker, and began to talk doubt and unbelief and negative. And then we've fulfilled it with our own words. Why? Because we're made in his image and likeness. We're made in God's class. What we speak comes to pass. Think about it. Who named all of the animals on the earth? Why? Because what he said stood. God gave him that right to speak, and what he said was so. He was made in God's class, and so were we. So we need to just take stock of what we're doing. Hebrews 10:23. This is the New Living Translation. Hebrews 10:23. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm." Oh boy. What are we affirming? What does that mean? What am I decreeing? What am I affirming to something, right? We're always affirming something. What does that mean? I'm speaking what I believe. So it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, something we expect. This is what we just read in Hebrews 11. For God can be trusted to what? Keep his promise. Glory. See, there's a process in faith. There's a process. It may take years to go through a process, but he's faithful that promised. That's the point. He can be trusted. He's a good God. He's faithful to bring it to pass. If we don't stop speaking his promises, we need to affirm what we hope. It's the Amplified Classic. It says, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and what? Confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable. He's sure and faithful to his word. Whew. Man, I mean, when you're having a bad day, you ought to go back. I don't care. Somebody shared this at camp meeting. Man, we all walk through this. It doesn't look like it's going to work. I don't see how we're ever going to see the fulfillment of this. I don't see how. That's the time you go and say, God, I don't see how, but I trust you. You're faithful. And I do what? Acknowledge it. I confess it. I decree it. You are faithful. And your word can be trusted. Even when I don't see it, it looks hopeless. But I do what? I take hold of my hope in him and his word. He can be trusted even when I don't see how. I can trust him. Because remember, what does it say? God is good. That means he's got my best interest. He's always looking out for me and you. And the devil is what? A thief. He's a robber. Don't fall into talking his junk. Don't talk defeat. God is good, and he can be trusted, and he's faithful. So let us, what does it say? Let us hold tightly the new living without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Glory to God. He can be trusted. No matter how dark it looks, no matter how it feels, no matter what your mind is telling you, he can be trusted. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's a process. In the process, we're talking about from the time you believe to the time of the fulfillment, there's a process. In that process, don't give up speaking what you believe. Continue to affirm it. Look, we all go through it, every single one of us. If you live in this earth, you've got an enemy. You're living in flesh that's not redeemed. And it's going to talk. And you got an enemy that's pushing the buttons to get you to do what? Give up and quit. But it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So the just, we must live by faith. Yeah, we must. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Think about it. I mean, what did the woman with the issue of blood? I'm closing. The woman with the issue of blood, what does it say in some translations? She kept saying. She kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She kept saying. Till the fulfillment. She kept saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you got a little something out of that. Get your heart stirred up. Don't let situations and circumstances get you down. Rise up and say, I'm going over. Let faith fill your words and your voice. Speak victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's full of faith, full of power, and we're not ashamed of it. And we thank you that we fill our hearts. We meditate day and night in your word. We observe to do it. And we thank you that you're causing us to deal wisely in life. And we thank you for it. We thank you that you are a good God. You're a merciful God. You're a faithful God to your promises. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Well, just before we dismiss, we just want to make sure that we extend the opportunity for anyone that may be in this room. I know most of us are probably born again, but you never know. Somebody could come in, somebody could have had a change of heart. Somebody could be not serving God the way they want or should. Maybe they've turned their back on God. Somebody might be watching online. Somebody may watch this later on, 2 years from now, because it's streamed and people go back and listen. So it's not just for us in this room, but we present an opportunity for those that may not know Christ. Amen. So if you don't know him, what do I mean by that? You've never asked him to come into your heart. You believe that maybe Jesus is the Christ. You may believe that, but you've never professed him as your Savior. You've never confessed that he was raised from the dead. Because when he was raised from the dead, if you don't believe that, then you don't believe you were raised from the dead. Because it says when he was raised, we were. So if you do that, you believe that and confess that with your mouth, it says you shall be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. I believe he took our sins, my sins, and he took those to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead and born again. Because your word says that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. I am also born from the dead. I receive him now as my Savior. I believe I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and I am born again. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it from your heart, then let us know today or write us. There's information on the screen. You can get in touch with us. We'll give you some free information.